Glory to God. You can be seated. Take us to the river. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year. The sovereign Lord is upon us. This is the year. I believe it's the year of the Lord's favor. 2012 is a good year. This is the year of the Lord's favor. I hope you're rejoicing in that and confessing that over your lives. This is the year of the Lord's favor. What does that mean? Well, it may be it's simply a year of shifting, a year of beginnings, a year of seeing a shift take place where there's even a new release of faith within in you that you recognize, a faith within you that you realize that you've suddenly now got on a track where you sense the blessing of God is coming like never before, that you sense the Spirit of the Lord is propelling you into your destiny. That's what the year of the Lord can look like. That's what the favor of the Lord can look like. A sense of being propelled toward the Lord's destiny for you. Because we all have a calling. We all have things to do. And He wants to propel us toward those things. If we'll step into the calling to which He has called us. Paul exhorts us, I pray that you might be worthy of the call to which you've been called. Worthy of the call to which I have given you. And it won't be the devil that'll keep us from fulfilling that. For the most part, it'll be our own selves of stepping out of the direction of the Lord, out of the guidance of the Lord, and so forth. Many years ago, of course, I remember hearing stories about polio that was rampant on the island, as in many, many places. You know, there's people around today who, from that era, who may have had some physical ailment because of what happened to them. There was a vaccine came out, and ships used to go into different harbors sometimes and they'd vaccinate everybody in the community. They really eradicated that disease for the most part. But what about people who would not participate or take advantage of that vaccine? Could you say that, you know, polio is a real problem in the community because some community decided that they weren't going to take it? Some community decided that they weren't going to take the medicine that was needed in order to sustain them and, you know, sense healing in their community. Well, the problem wouldn't be the polio. The problem would be with the people who refuse to receive the thing that is needed in order to set them free. And so many times that happens with us as Christians. It's not that we don't have a way out. It's a lot of times we don't take that way out. A lot of times we don't participate with the principles of the kingdom of God in order to receive the benefits of those principles. And so, in one sense, we can't blame the devil because God's already given us the remedy for him. Praise God, His word is more powerful than anything that the enemy can do. Amen. His word is powerful. Now, we've been talking a bit about the favor of the Lord and the anointing for us to be able to walk in the favor of the Lord, the anointing that goes with the favor of the Lord. And we're going to share a little bit along that line again today. We're going to start off with Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 again. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Or the yoke that keeps us in bondage, the prison doors, whatever it might be, will be destroyed because of the anointing of God, because of the power and the ability of God that comes upon His people. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. But one of the things that we learn is that we must get in line or facilitate the flow of the anointing of God in our lives so that can happen. And what do I mean by the anointing of God? Well, I simply mean that the power or the ability, the empowerment of God coming in onto our lives in order to be able to do what we've been called to do, to break bondages off of us, for instance, so that sets us free so that we can do things that God has called us to do, that we can live for Him, for number one, that we can enjoy the things of the Spirit, enjoy the things of God. So the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So people are not going to be delivered without the anointing of God. The Word of God, the anointing of God goes together. The Word and the Spirit come together and breaks the bondages that people get themselves in because of the devil's taunting. I want to read a scripture in Hosea chapter 11, verse 3 here, an interesting scripture when God is calling back his people to himself again because they got away again, they rebelled and went their own way, and God called them back. And in Hosea chapter 11, it says, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I heal them. Say this with me, the Lord. Heal them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck, and I stooped down and fed them. Interesting passage of scripture, because if we were to read before that in Hosea chapter 10, we would find that he's referring to the nation of Israel quite a bit there as an animal, as an oxen, or as horses even, or as people who had to be harnessed. And that's what he was referring to here when he comes to the place of taking the yoke from their neck. I remember years ago when I was living on a farm, when I was growing up, just a small boy. And back then, I mean, if you were big enough to sit on a seat anywhere and hold a set of reins, you rode a horse or you did something. I can remember raking hay with a horse, and I could barely be able to sit on the seat. When I think of it, it was crazy. Because I remember I couldn't really get up on the seat enough to be able to sit on it, so I had to kind of stand up alongside the seat. And you had to hit this rake, this lever, that would gather the hay up and then leave it in a row. And anyway, you could do this all day with a horse. By the end of the day, of course, noontime will say even, that you took that horse in, and that horse worked fairly hard, walking back and forth all day. And, you know, if you were felt spry, you'd kind of give them a little whip a little bit and so them to trot along because you wanted them to hurry up. Well, by the end of the day, he was pretty tired. And so you take him in, and of course, we'd put bridles on the horses. Now, it's interesting because bridles would enable you to control the horse. It would be able to, you know, you could steer him where he would go and so forth. But there was also blinders on the horse, which part of the bridle, so that they couldn't see, they couldn't be distracted with other things, and they would obey your command. Now, sometimes this is what the enemy does. He will bridle us. He will put us in a place where we can't see everything, but we're just bridled enough to be manipulated by him, the way we would manipulate horses to do the things that we want to do. About noontime or after work, we'd come in and take the bridle. I remember you'd unhitch the horse, you'd take the collar off them, the hames and all of the traces and so forth. You'd hang them all up, and a lot of times the last time you take off is the bridle. And you take that off, the bridle off them, and it would just seem like their eyes would perk right up sometimes, and it almost seemed like they put a smile on their face. And they suddenly realized they got that off of them, and they would be able to eat more freely and so forth and drink water. And they were released then to do what they wanted to do. Well, in the scripture here, this is what it speaks about, that the Lord is telling his children, I draw you with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke off their neck, and I stooped down to feed them. He was saying, I did that to you in order to draw you to myself. I released you from those things that were holding you back and those things that were keeping you blindsided. I did it, he said. Now, it's interesting in verse 3 there because it says, but they did not know that I healed them. Isn't that interesting? Here were the people of God, and God was calling them. He was doing everything he could, and it says that they did not know that he healed them. That word there, the Hebrew word in there, but they did not know. It all comes together to explain that by one word, yada, and it means to learn to know, to perceive, to find out and discern. It means to recognize. So in other words, they did not recognize. It means to admit. They did not admit that they were healed. They refused to. It means to acknowledge or confess. So God is saying, here's a people, a children of mine, that I heal them. They would not confess that I healed them. They would not acknowledge that I healed them. They would not recognize or admit that I healed them, although I healed them. God said in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And yet here God says, I did it all for them, and they wouldn't admit, acknowledge, or confess that I had healed them. Do we often get ourselves in that place sometimes? We read the word of God, and God declares us blessed. He declares the favor of the Lord upon us, but yet we won't often admit, recognize, or confess that the favor of the Lord is upon us. If we won't, basically we're going to have to do without. Many times, you know, the good things that we enjoy in our lives, sometimes we won't admit, confess, or recognize that they come from God and give Him thanks. I'll tell you one thing, gratitude and thankfulness goes a long way with God. It really does. It goes a long way. If we'll confess and we'll admit that God has blessed us, God's hand is upon us, the favor of the Lord is upon us, I'm convinced we'll begin to notice it a whole lot more. We'll notice the favor of God upon us. We'll notice the favor of God running us down. The blessing of God coming upon us in so many areas. But if we're always looking at what we don't have, we're going to confess that we don't have. We're going to admit that we don't have. We're going to, you know, proclaim that we don't have it. And the more we proclaim it, the more we'll get it. So our mouth is going to have to get in line with what we declare, what we want from God. Let's confess, let's recognize, let's admit, let's acknowledge that the favor of the Lord is upon us this year. Can you do that?
Yes.
Can you do that? Because this is a battle. This is something that the enemy will try to get to stop us. Sometimes we can get excited and get a lot of zeal about it and say, well, yes, praise the Lord. But sometimes when we've been walking this way for years and years and years and years and we haven't seen it happening yet, we'll draw back, we'll grow weary, and we'll say, well, we're just going to have to put up with it, I guess, with what we got. We're just going to have to get by with where we're at. Well, the only way out of that is to change your thinking and change your speaking so that we'll confess, admit, recognize that there's a way out. And I don't care if it's financially, I don't care if it's emotionally, I don't care if it's looking at whether you're worth anything or not. You can confess your way out of that stuff.
Amen.
If you'll change your mind, if you'll change your thinking, absolutely acknowledging God as coming in and changing us, causing us to be born again by the Spirit of God. In other words, if we're born again, we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, how often do we confess that Christ has made me righteous? Christ has made me free. Christ has made me a new creature. I'm a brand new person in the Lord.
Yes.
We don't have to understand it, but we have to believe it. We do have to believe it. These people wouldn't believe. So they were stuck with where they were at with their present situation. Let's read again Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. Well, that again, that he's anointed to do something. He's anointed to carry something out. And we talked about this a lot, but one of the major principles of the kingdom of God is to walk in integrity. Walking in honesty, in honor and reliability is a major principle in the kingdom of God. Being truthful. God is a God of justice. The Bible says that the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. You could say, put it this way. The Bible says that the scepter of God's kingdom is a scepter of doing things right. In other words, that has to be held out. When people look at the body of Christ, they should be able to see a people who are doing things right. Not being shady in their dealings, but people who are doing things right. Their scepter is something that is visible, something that establishes who you are. It should be that we are a people who do things right. We never try to cheat on our income tax, never try to malign our employer or so forth. We always set forth to do things properly and correctly according with the kingdom of God, in line with kingdom of God principles. And so we have an anointing to do that if we'll do it. If we'll step out and be determined to always obey God and honor Him with our finances, and that means being, integral when it comes to our employer and so forth, in all those areas, when we step out to do those things, the anointing of God will be there to help us. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes it's difficult to honor an employer. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's somebody who doesn't like you within your workplace, but yet we're required to deal with integrity and honor them. And as we do, I believe the anointing of God will be there to help us. The anointing of God, if we'll in our own hearts and say, I want to bless this employer. He's paying me, or this company is paying me to do a certain job. I want to do it to the best of my ability. I want to honor them. And I believe if we'll do that, God will see that we're honored in the process.